and welcome back to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores here with Peter Raber. We are back in the office. We went out to the baseball field. It was hot. Now we're back in the air conditioning.
We're drier.
We're cooler. Drier, not sweaty, not covered in rain. It's very comfortable in here.
Yeah, it's definitely... I thought the Axeman one came out really well, but for a little bit there, the amount of rain that was coming in and hitting that roof, you couldn't have done anything with. So, you know, maybe 15 minutes before we hit record, it was a deluge.
And our video worked.
Yep.
If you've not seen it, I know that we put that on Facebook. It's also on YouTube and LinkedIn, if anybody wants to go check us out and go see it. But I know that not all podcast platforms are set up for video.
Right.
So, but we did upload the video to those podcast sites. So maybe it's working out there and I've just not seen it. But nevertheless, it's on the social medias.
On the medias.
But back in the office today, and we wanted to catch up on a few things. We've had some listener questions come in, and we actually were able to answer one of them. And that episode got totally tanked because the audio was so bad.
Yeah, happens, right? Yeah.
So we're gonna get into that a little bit later, but I kind of want to make a small plug really quick for the Kingsport Chamber this Friday, August 12th at 6:30. We're having Brouhaha, which is kind of a big deal. It's a great place for everyone to come together and have pizza, have some drinks, and there's comedians who are showing up to entertain us.
You know, comedy shows are always fun, and they've done this a couple years now, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, 6:30 at the Meadowview, and let's see, featured comedians. And I'm probably going to butcher some of these names, so if these comedians are listening...
Come on our podcast
and correct us. Let us know how to properly say your name. But Angel Gaines, Mark Lamote, and Francisco Ramos. But the tickets are $45 each, and they allow entrance into the show and include pizza and two beers. So visit kingsportchamber.org/brouhaha, and you can buy your tickets there. I do want to let everyone know, they will not be selling tickets at the door.
Gotta get them early.
Gotta get them early. You snooze, you lose on this one. But it'll be fun. This is a well-attended event. There's a lot of people in the community who come out for this. And it's really nice to have these nights where, you know, everyone can just relax and just have a good time.
You know, and it's one of those things, too, that the comedy circuit for so many people, that shut down in COVID. So you had a lot of comedians who were forced to go purely digital. Some just dropped out of the game. But these people, you know, tend to be on the road 4 or 5 days of the week. You know, if you're traveling constantly and the airline shut down, it's not a lot you can do.
Right.
I think the first big comedy special was that Dave Chappelle one they did outside right after COVID.
Okay.
And but you know, it's just not the same for these comedians who are used to these packed houses, close interaction, and so I'm thrilled that, you know, we're getting back there.
Well, I've learned over the years, being at a comedy club or a comedy event, you kind of don't want to sit in the front because you're an easy target from there on out. So,
well, and now it's not even just that. But because of what we've seen comedians do, it's online immediately. So if you're a good target, mm-hmm. or you say something dumb, it'll be on YouTube, it'll be on TikTok, it'll be somewhere.
You're going to be internet famous for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Yeah, don't want to do that. So, you know, get there early enough that you don't have to sit in front.
Or you become a meme.
Exactly. Maybe you want that.
Do you ever, and this is totally off topic, but do you ever just kind of wonder, you know, all these people who are memes now, they're people.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Like, what did you ever think about
you
them?
You need one just of those, like, VH1 shows. What are they doing now?
Behind the scenes.
I know that there's been certain ones that have gone on and had some level of notoriety and career, but some of these things are getting turned into NFT tokens, you know, non-fungible tokens. And so you know, the real famous one was, you know, the little kid who said, "You bit my finger, Charlie." You know, that one, that's, yeah, you can't find that anymore because it's been taken off the internet and it was sold for millions of dollars. Wow. And there's a someone who owns the rights to it.
Oh, my
so
God.
There's definitely a market out there if you do become a meme, but you got to become a meme for something that people actually like.
Well, maybe I will show up and sit in the front row.
Yeah.
As might not be a bad strategy for me. But yeah, just to circle up here, Brouhaha, Friday, August 12th at 6:30 over at Meadowview. Brian and I will be working that event. I think Brian might be slinging pizza. I think I'm slinging beers. I don't know. I'm just going to do whatever Stephanie tells me to do. And
it's normally a good plan, right?
Yeah, that's usually how it goes for Brian and I. We just do whatever we're told. But it would be fun to see people come out. One thing that's really intriguing to me, just to kind of pivot a little bit, is the tax-free groceries and food that's
right.
going on right now. I think it's really important, especially given what we do, to kind of share some of that information. And, you know, what I'd found is, you know, Tennesseans can now expect to see some relief as groceries will be sold tax-free throughout the month of August. During the month-long holiday, food and ingredients can be purchased tax-free. The holiday was proposed by Governor Bill Lee in March to provide financial relief to Tennesseans among surging inflation costs.
Yeah, so the episode that didn't get to air, we were talking, you know, about the tax-free
weekend
for back to school.
Right.
And that's such a big thing. But you've got to know what is allowed, what isn't when you're planning. You got to know to stay away from Pigeon Forge and the outlet malls. And you got to know where you, I mean, I don't know if you went out on tax-free weekend, but we walked into Target, had completely forgotten that it was tax-free weekend.
Yeah.
And it was awful. You know, I like people. I don't like mobs, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there was a lot of people out. But food, at least, it lasts all August. So there's not a rush out this weekend element. But there are things you can't expect to get the discount on. So things like alcohol, prepared food, candy, supplements. There's a whole list of these things.
Tobacco.
So, you know, vending machine purchases, micro marts, those type things. They're wanting this relief to go to the normal family working environment of,
right,
of Tennessee. And, you know, it's just going to come off your bill. You're not going to see it necessarily, but hopefully by the end of August, if you had a $200, you know, grocery budget for the month or whatever it is, maybe it comes in at $180 or something like that. That's kind of the hope. And then in aggregate, you know, it makes a difference.
I feel a little personally attacked that candy made the non-exempt list.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that, but I guess that's probably, you know, every one of these bills, you know, comes and goes, and somebody says, well, you know, but you can make an argument that candy is healthier than, you know, eating way too much of healthy stuff, right? Calorie in, calorie out.
I can make an argument for anything,
yeah,
whether it's legitimate or stands, that's another question. But yeah, I can make an argument for anything. But so it's for the whole month of August.
Right.
Are we just relying on the stores to have a handle on this and trusting them, or do people need to kind of take a look at their receipt and just double check and make sure?
I think it really depends on, you know, the real dollar amount of what you're spending. The store should take care of it. But, you know, things can slip through. But the major retailers are all going to, you know, the major grocery chains, they're all on board and they're going to be fine. But, yeah, take a look at your receipt. And people should do more of that anyway just to make sure that, you know,
I never look at my receipt. And I just with something like this, I see mass confusion starting because someone's going to argue, well, this is technically not this, or this is technically not that. Who decides that? That's what I want to know.
I think the store probably in the end, you know, has a list of, and I'm sure there's a regulator in there that goes back and looks at. I think,
because see, what I'm thinking is I could consider Pop-Tarts candy.
Right, you could.
I mean, if we're really going to, you know, dig into it.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I just see a lot of that happening.
I'm sure that there's codes in there, but, you know, an example would be like snack cakes. You know, are those cakes and
or
snacks,
candy.
Or are they candy?
See, there's so much.
And we don't really know.
This vague gray area.
Yeah. And so, who knows, but check your receipt. If something looks off, you know, let us know how that goes if you try to fight it, but... it's my imagination is that people are exactly like what you're saying. You don't look at your receipt and then all of a sudden, especially for something like this that lasts all month long, hopefully there's a few extra dollars in the bank account at the end of the month.
I think it's a huge help. I know that I can definitely see a huge increase in our grocery bill, you know, just for a small family. And I could imagine, you know, rolling the tax off that would be a big help, especially if you're spending $200 or $300 each time in a grocery store. You know, roll off that tax. It's a huge help. So I hope everyone's able to take advantage of that. And, you know, I'm thankful that we have that opportunity to have it. And, yeah, like you were talking about with the tax-free weekend that we had previously mentioned, but I'd forgotten about it too until I went into a store on, I think it was Sunday afternoon. I went into a store and I was checking out, and the lady who was super nice, she was like, "Are you enjoying your tax-free weekend?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, it's this weekend, isn't it?" So I was like, "Yeah, it's great."
You know, you got to be aware of this. And you know, obviously, there's people who are on top of it. It's the same people, though, for me. And I make fun of my wife a little bit because she knows how to do this stuff and I don't. So I have to make fun of her to make myself feel better. But like Kohl's Cash, you know, these people like these reward programs, and they know, okay, well, if I buy this here and I do this here, and then, you know, it's kind of like that couponing mentality.
Right.
If I go back and buy during this sale event or whatever it is, I can get XYZ free. So it's worth it if you're willing to put the work in. Sometimes for me, it's just the convenience isn't necessarily right there, so it makes it a little harder, and I do forget, you know.
Yeah, I'm terrible with that stuff. I don't do well with rewards, anything. I've probably got a bank of rewards somewhere that I know nothing about.
Probably.
And I'll probably never cash it in because I know nothing about it.
It's actually something, and one day we'll dive into it. It's something that I'm dealing with more on things like estate work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come up in, like, you know, your credit card provided airline miles.
Right.
And there's 5,000 miles, which have a value. There's a dollar amount you could associate with that have to get transferred to somebody. But who and how and who has those contacts information, you know, those type things. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get back into some Q&A here. I know that the past few episodes we've been doing a few different things, which has been fun. But we do have some questions that need some answers. And I'll start off by apologizing to Aaron, because we did, in good faith, address this question and answer it, and we couldn't use the episode because, well, it was partially my fault. So we're just going to leave it at that.
Well, you know, it happens. Technology, we're new to this whole podcasting thing, so, you know.
But I thought it was a good question, and I thought that we definitely need to revisit it. So
yeah,
That's what we're going to do again. So I'm just going to read this, you know, this information she sent to me. And, Peter, I'd love to hear your feedback on it. But, you know, it's actually a question concerning her mom, Becky's, retirement. Becky worked for Wells Fargo in the past for about 25 years. After she moved on to another job, she left her 401k there. She gets closer to retirement. She would like to simplify things and move all of her retirement plans into a single IRA that she has. Empower Retirement now handles Wells Fargo 401k plans, and they insist on mailing her a check for the total amount of the 401k. One concern is that if on the day they issue the check, the stock market has a bad day but bounces back while the check is in transit, and she could lose out on a lot of money. Is there any way around this? So,
right.
I said this before. You know, this is a great question, and I think this is one of those topics that, you know, you don't really know it until you get into it, until it starts to happen, and then you're like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah, once it affects you, it becomes real quick. And know that I had a probably much better answer the first time we went over this. So if I say something wrong, we'll just blame it on that. So there's a couple things, though, going on with what the question, you know, deals with. And the first is these kind of orphaned 401k plans. So you worked somewhere, you have a 401k or you have a 403b or any of the other number combinations that indicates a retirement account. And then you leave. And one of the things that we tell everybody is when you leave that job, that's the best time to do something about it, because you still know the people there. You're calling up and talking to the HR person that you've worked with in the past and all those things. Because normally there's some level of paperwork that has to get filled out. And they take that paperwork, they go back and look at the retirement account and whether or not it's vested to you. So that's just a fancy word of saying, did you work here long enough that all the money in the account is yours? So if you put $100 in and the employer puts $100 in on the first week on the job, right? But then you leave week two, they're going to keep their $100 because you didn't work there long enough for them to give you their money type thing. And that's all normally in the contracts. Mm-hmm. So they look at all that paperwork, come up with a dollar amount, and that's your amount that can roll over to a rollover IRA. And in this circumstance, one option might be for the money to go straight to the new employer's 401k, because you can do that. Now, you can do it directly in some cases, and this is completely dependent upon both sides, you know, being able to work together. But or it can go into an IRA rollover, and then from that IRA rollover into the new employer. And then you're down to one account. As far as dealing with the market disturbance, typically what we see happen with these 401ks is exactly what she's talking about, is they determine a value on a certain day and they send you a check. Now, a lot of times, and what can be a little bit faster and better, is if they wire it into your bank account or they wire it to a new IRA rollover or whatever it is. But you can have pretty big market swings. And the way these things normally price is at the close of business, so 4 o'clock when the market closes, they'll figure out what the assets were. So it's normally actually the close of the previous day's number. So if they issued the check on, you know, Tuesday, it's where it closed on Monday. And then you got your mail time, get it back into the account and move on. So the big thing, though, is when that check goes out, you have a 60-day timer to get that back in an IRA. Because if you don't get it back in an IRA, it becomes completely taxable, right, whatever the dollar amount is.
I do remember us talking about that.
And,
yeah, that's
and
a
that
big
can
deal.
Be a big problem. And you can do that, you know, each year you get one kind of 60-day rollover that you can work around. So we see that happen every now and again. People will take their money out of their IRA for a short-term expense and then pay it back when the money comes in at the end of the month type thing, because you got 60 days to get it back in. But the best thing to do is to have it wired directly. And a lot of times what we find is on the paperwork and in talking to, I guess, conference calls, because what we'll do a lot of times is we'll bring somebody in, we'll call the retirement place and say, this is what we'd like to do. They don't want to do the extra work to do the wire direct or whatever it is. Now, some just have a flat out policy, we will only issue out checks, and then there's not a lot you can do. The only thing you can do is ask them to overnight it at their expense. Sometimes they'll do that, and then you can, so for example, if they were local and we were talking, you know, in person, we would say, okay, have them mail the check to us, because the day we get it, we're going to scan it back into TD Ameritrade and we're going to rebuy whatever we needed to buy.
Right.
And so that's one thing. Now, I will say part of this also deals with the fact that a large portion of people who have 401ks and are close to retirement tend not to have the same level of risk within their portfolio. So it should be mitigated by the fact that you're not 100% in stocks on the day that they liquidate it. So there is an element of that, but there's definitely market fluctuations, and it can work in both directions. So everybody always worries about the downside, you know, what if the market rallied while the check's in the mail? Well, if the market plunged while the check is in the mail, then you're buying lower. So it's a little bit of a, you know, of a risk, but it shouldn't be tremendous you know, unless you do get one of these just massive moves over a very short period of time. But those tend to be, you know, unpredictable in other ways. And, you know, there's other reasons why you might have been in or out of the market anyway. So
right.
I think a lot of it has to do, though, with coming in, talking to someone like us so that it is coordinated, so it doesn't go from a five-day turnaround to a 58-day turnaround. And, you know, in 2 months, the market can be massively different. We've seen that this year. We've had a tremendous rally off the bottom. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it holds. But that's one of those ones that, you know, if you'd missed this entire move, you know, then you got all the downside and didn't get, you know, a 15-16%, you know, flip back up. So I think that's one of those ones that it's a very valid concern, but it should be able to be mitigated. The fact that it's through Wells Fargo, they're a bank, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, there should be a way to get around this, but they may only be willing to send it electronically to another IRA.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I feel like printing a check would be more costly than just digitally wiring it over to another account. I don't know. I could be wrong.
It's significantly easier and cheaper. And then you've got all the risk of the check in lost in the mail. You get the risk of, you know, your neighbor gets your mail and then doesn't tell you about it for, you know, a month and a half and, you know, that type of stuff. So I think that's one of those things that you really just, you know, it used to be a profit center for so many people to charge extra fees to electronically wire things. It doesn't cost them anywhere near what they were charging on a fee. So, yeah, there should be a way around it. If not, then, you know, one big thing that I would say, too, is have them make that check payable to and have them on the line, whether it's in the memo or in the payable to, you know, for example, if it was coming to an account from me, I would want them to make it payable to TD Ameritrade, which is where my IRA rollover is, for the benefit of, so FBO, Peter Raber. So, you know, IRA at the end. That way, at least you have a paper trail that this was intended to get back into an IRA, and then, you know, you can
that way,
the IRS if they say
if it were to ever come into question, mm-hmm. you have that to
fall back on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think that was, you know, one of those ones, and we go through a lot, but normally what you end up doing is you need to be on the phone with the service person and walk them through your concerns and your risks. And the problem is so many people try to do that on their own, and then they get nothing but jargon speak and, no, I can't do that. And you know, so we do that pretty frequently for people.
Sure. Well, and it's good to have, you know, people like us who can help assist with that. So, Aaron, we hope that kind of clears up the water there for you. And if you need help, let us know.
Yeah, we'll hop on a call. And, you know, it can be something as easy as saying, well, you don't want to do it over a long holiday weekend. You know, you don't want to call the service people on, you know, the Friday or Thursday of a week before, like, July 4th.
Yeah, because you're just sacrificing
days.
You're
sacrificing a day. Yeah. And it's also an extra day for, God forbid, things to happen. And then you could open up the next day, you know, on the following Monday.
Right.
You know, really down. So doing it midweek or early in the week so that it gets to you still during that week can make a difference. But hopefully it's one of those ones that you can kind of mitigate.
You know, it's funny that all the things we talk about, there's this common underlying factor of planning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always there. It seems like with any question we talk about, no matter what it is, you know, having a plan, seeking out help for that plan is always there. It's always underlined. So, yeah. You know, I encourage people who have these questions, please reach out, and we're happy to help. You can reach us at connect@afiadvisors.com. You know, you can also go to afiadvisors.com just to check out the website, see a little bit of what we're about, what we do. And Peter, what do you think about going to the grocery store and let's just load up on all of the snacks, not candy.
Right. I think that's a better idea than when we, you know, mentioned going to the casino and blowing the money there. So at least we'd have food to.
Have you been to the casino yet?
Not yet.
I haven't either.
Need to get up there, but
well,
I've made it.
They're clearly doing well because I see nothing but you know, people posting and sharing about going there. So obviously they're doing well.
I think they pulled $4 million the first weekend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's doing well.
That's pretty wild. I'm going to make a trip, and I'll try to take some videos of me losing my money, because that's what I'll be doing.
Very quickly, right?
In the first hour? I see it as me just going there to make a donation to whomever is going to win my money.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a fun way to do it. But
well, it's kind of like the big Mega Millions that just got hit. You know, it's just a donation to the person who gets $1 billion.
I saw that. Yeah, I complain a lot about not winning the lottery for a person that never plays the lottery.
Yeah, so. I'm the same way. Kate asked me, did you buy us tickets? I was like, no, I forgot. Yeah, I didn't do it. Wasn't going to win anyway, so
we don't
just
need
saved
to be
us
billionaires. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Take the lump sum.
Take the lump sum. Is that your advice?
Yeah, take the lump sum.
Yeah, that seems like a...
Unless you're... To me, it's a personality question. If you can't manage money, the numbers say take the lump sum. But if you're going to get X number of dollars per year for the rest of your life, and that means you can only blow X number of dollars per year, but you know it's going to get replenished, there could be some personality reasons to take the lump sum.
That's true. I would probably need to evaluate my personality before I made that decision.
Yeah.
Because I could go bad on that really quick. Well, this is the tail end of the show. Aaron, thanks again for the question. Everyone get out, go buy your groceries, take advantage of this tax-free month. Almost said weekend, but month.
Whole month.
Whole month of August. And again, don't forget about Brouhaha coming up this Friday at 6:30. Go to kingsportchamber.org/brouhaha to buy your tickets. And until then, we will see you next time. Thank you.